views, opinions, and positions expressed on this radio program are those of the speakers, authors, or other contributors, and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by BBS Radio Network or its affiliates. This broadcast is intended for entertainment purposes only.
I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other.
When one is able to repeatedly step into the purity and heart and space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of its aware the destination of such a path when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And now, here is your host for Quantum Mindfulness Radio, Joel Ayala Ayupanya.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so dearly for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio, a quantum think tank of sorts aimed at focusing upon the energies of love, of purity, potentiality, newer paradigms, newer approaches, and upon the very truths of our own higher selves, to where then a heightened sense of reality is created once we are to manifest fields of an environment based upon clarity, simplicity, and authenticity, a sacred space of sorts. Now, Quantum Mindfulness Radio broadcasts every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. And now the topic of main focus for tonight's show aims at the following questions. What are robotic entrepreneurs? What are soulful entrepreneurs? What are the basic motivations for a soulful entrepreneurship? And how can we get more soulful into creating a successful life? Additionally, what does it mean to being spiritual as opposed to being religious? Who am I? What is life essentially all about? Are we physical beings? Are we religious? Or rather, are we indeed spiritual beings? Or are we essentially spiritual beings living a human experience? Is it spiritually correct to say that we are religious in faith? Or is it perhaps more religiously correct to say that we are spiritual in truth and connection to Source? And here to speak with me in conversation concerning the many, many puzzling aspects of these deepening and dire questions is my dear and wonderful friend, Tina Saki, best-selling author of her own book entitled My Spirit is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. Now, Tina is one of the nation's first and foremost of the most holistic and amongst the most spiritual of leaders, of whom have been within the business of self-help and self-healing for quite some time, and has been an accomplished public speaker and media personality herself. She is also a best-selling author for another one of her published works, The Expert Success Solution, and the creator of a series of highly successful meditation and hypnotherapy audio programs that have made bestseller lists as well within the past. Tina helps people release, resolve, and heal unresolved patterns, imprints, and beliefs that no longer serve them well. She guides them to finding their inner truths, living their authentic lives, and in assisting with people's journeys to transitioning to their own calling, to the evolution of human consciousness. She has been featured on numerous local and national television shows, radio shows, and newspaper magazine articles, and for which she has also hosted an internationally based radio talk show herself entitled Living a Spiritual Life with Tina Saki. Additionally, she is a shaman, a hypnotherapist, an energy healer, an intuitive, a mystic, and an advocate for raw food living. Thank you, dear Tina. Tina Saki, thank you for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Oh, you're welcome, and I am so honored and blessed to be part of your circle. Thank you, Joel.
Now, Tina, as you may know from our very first introductory encounter that we had experienced from a few months back in September, during the Journey Soulful Mind, Body, and Soul Expo at Lakeland Community College. Now, we had performed a book swap, and we signed each other's books, and wouldn't you say, Tina, that we had one of the most enlightening of experiences?
Oh, my God, it was amazing. There was so much synchronicities, I should say, between us. We've been walking the same path of light, the same path of positive light, like your book says, the book of positive light, remembrance of the heart. And when we connected, there was a heart connection, a remembrance of your light and a remembrance of my light, having been together for the longest time. And although we met briefly in Cleveland in physical form, we have met and been part of, I believe, in the same soul group.
Absolutely, Tina.
Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, Tina. And as for me, the entire act of merely just meeting you and then how that all came about to be just mystifies me even more. And is just as synchronistic as well from the very ranks of my own book, The Book of Positive Light. Now, when I first introduced myself and asked to see if I could be able to personally get a reading from you at the Journey Mind, Body, and Soul Expo at Lakeland Community College this year in September, the very first feeling that you had received from my book, The Book of Positive Light, was that it carried serpent mound energy. And from what you and I know, the ending of times, or perhaps this ending of the cycle, or perhaps in the beginning of the new, this newest of cycles shall bring back in favor the very energies of serpent mound heightened sacred geometry in energetic form. And so, and how you interconnected this relationship between us and our most common of friends from within the most inspiring of people, our good friend Douglas Ross Hamilton, an expert and one of the most profound of knowledgeable elders for whom we both know, as far as it pertains to ancient sacred sites, sacred geometry, Lemuria, and in the Great Serpent Mound of Adams County, Ohio. Just basically brings into form and into shape the synchronicity of sorts, and it just rekindles itself, our inter and outer relationship that was always within the know. And just to think of how all of that has just transpired is just basically just fills me with so much mystery and enlightenment. And so, Tina, can you explain your experiences for our listeners and in how synchronicity from within itself has become a great part of your journey to self-rediscovery?
Well, it's everything that has happened on my path, and I'm sure many other people can relate to it, especially if you're tuned in, is that I tune into my heart's desires, and then I talk to spirit, and then it happens. So we may call this synchronistic events. One of the things I've been wanting to do in the past few years is meet my brothers and my sisters, my soul brothers and sisters. And so when we met in September, it was synchronistic to me. And also, I'm always so humble and so honored that the universe truly and deeply has our back. They're constantly, I can't even make this stuff up, the way everything is so aligned and everything it happens in divine timing. So it just keeps happening. And it's just the whole journey is miraculous if you really are aligned on your path, if you really are soulful on your path, which is the topic of our discussion today, is to be soulful rather than robotic. Robotic is you're just going to go through the motions, and you know, really, when you're soulful, things just click and happen, don't you think?
Absolutely, Tina. Now, often at times we have frequently approached life in such a manner to where we have essentially responded to life with such great automaticity, literally with our heads cut off, and essentially, Tina, with our hearts cut out as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That we are essentially conditioned negatively to respond to life on autopilot. And so, yes, absolutely. I would have to agree, Tina, that in order to live soulfully, as your beautiful book encourages, relies upon living upon our lives personally through approaching the negative through a heartened choice by responding to such negativity with non-reaction, forgiveness, release, and in blessing. And now we have the eye-opening nature of your own book, My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. You have spoken about the importance of living an authentic life. Can you be able to explain for our listeners, Tina, of what it truly means to being authentic?
To be authentic means to really live, breathe, smells, using all your senses to display and be who you truly are, and not really hiding it. It's living with your spirit. It's your spirit is the one that guides you. And for me, my experience, I was brought up in a very strict Catholic Italian environment. Now, there's nothing wrong with being Catholic. I'm not bashing Catholicism. It's just for me, there were too many rules. And to me, I viewed God or the Great Spirit or the Creator, whatever word you want to call it, as a non-punishing being. And, being brought up in a very strict household, God was punishing. And if you did wrong, you would go to hell. And I just didn't feel that. My authentic self said, no, that's not true for you. So anytime I would speak up, I'd be bashed and shunned and all that kind of stuff. So I lived in a metaphysical closet. I lived in my own authentic closet, and I realized that I had to come out, because if I didn't, I was just going to go down. I started getting ill and having all these physical ailments because my spirit's saying, all right, come on, get up. Let's just, talk. You came here for a purpose. You're not going to just float through life and not complete your purpose and accomplish your purpose. So authenticity is really about living your purpose, living your passion, living who you are, believing in who you are, and just spreading your light. Everybody's got light. Everybody's got their unique gifts. And so that's being authentic, is to be with people that honor you, who support you, who raise your vibration. And if your listeners are out there and they're with people, I don't care if it's a spouse, a child, or a mom or a dad that squashes their light, or doesn't believe in their light, it's time to make a change.
Now, with I myself growing up as a Catholic, I often considered myself a spiritualist, as opposed to being merely just that of being Catholic in religious nature. And again, I am not downplaying the importance of Catholicism, not the least bit, Tina, but I truly believe that this particular religion was started out with the most pure and legitimate of intentions. But yes, I often questioned the dogma of which surrounded such religions. Now, what compelled for you to write such a book, Tina? Did you encompass the same questions, or did you perhaps encounter even more of these troublesome or perhaps even paradigm-shifting concerns yourself?
Yeah, great question, because, you know, I want to tell everybody that it wasn't easy for me because, you know, I knew down deep inside that once I came out of the metaphysical closet that I would lose people. I would lose family members. I would lose friends that I've had for all those years. So I knew that. So I had to go through that, and I had to really gain my power and strength to, and also the time I had to be willing to put up with that. It's like, okay, you know, once I came out and I told, you know, I basically what I did was I created a website and I started doing my energy healings, and I had family members saying, you know, what are you doing? You know, what happened to Catholicism, and what happened to this, and what happened to that? I lost a lot of bonds with people. And you know what? It was, now that I look back, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So people that did not want to talk to me anymore, they created space so I can grow. And I can plant the seeds that I really wanted to plant. And now I'm reaping the benefits, you know, 20 years later, I'm reaping the benefits of really living. And I wake up, Joel, every morning in deep, deep gratitude. You know, I meditate. I am so gratitude. I thank the universe so much for showing me, to lighting up my path so I can really be where the space that I'm in. And it's a process for those people that are out there like, how do you do it? And you mentioned my book, and I appreciate you doing that. You know, my book is broken up into four parts, and the book has, as you know, has some humor to it, and it has stories of my stories and my clients' stories that have gone through similar things. And, the you know, this part one is, you know, telling people that it is a different way to feel God. There is a different way. It's okay. It's okay that you have your own beliefs and your parents have others. And then part two is, you know, you make a decision. Do you want to come out or you want to stay in your spiritual closet? And then part three, I give people tools for moving forward on their spiritual journey and eliminating the guilt and all the pressures. And then part four is staying on spiritual tasks, spiritual maintenance for a spiritual lifestyle. So through my lessons and my learnings, and they were very challenging for me. It doesn't mean they were going to be challenging for everybody else, but for me, it was a big, deep, deep, deep challenge. I was able to, you know, bring it all together in this book to help those people around the world to, you know, come out of their spiritual closet, live their authentic life. And again, it wasn't the easiest thing for me, but now I look back and I was like, thank God I did it. I listened to myself, Joel. I listened and I did it.
Absolutely, Tina. Absolutely. Now, you have made mention frequently from within your book, the many pages of your book, that the true message, the answer, the solution, the truest gospels of any holy book, and for which the resolution and the answer lies from within inside of you, wouldn't you say? And wouldn't you say as well that meditation and even from within the ranks of self-hypnotherapy lies from within finding the answers from within yourself, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. A meditation is one of the keys to healing, if not the top key to healing. I always say that. I always say that if you walk out of your house without brushing your teeth, wouldn't that be a yucky feeling, Joel? So, yeah, and to me, if I walk out of my house without having the time, even if it's 5 minutes to, you know, connect myself, it would be a yucky feeling, too. I mean, if you're going from 0 miles an hour, you know, in the morning, you know, you come from, you know, you're sleeping, you're in dream time, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes off, and then you're out of bed and running around like with a chicken with the head cut off. I mean, that is the tone that you're setting for the rest of the day. However, if you come to a place, like I always tell people, set that alarm like 5 minutes before you're supposed to really get out of bed, or 10 minutes, I dare you, do 15, And the alarm goes off, and then you just kind of like stay there in your bed, and you start bringing in all the intention and all the things that you want to manifest that day, and use the words I am. And as you know, Jill, you know those I am words are the most powerful words on earth.
Taking in the consciousness of true Christ consciousness from the awareness of the I am presence. Yes, I would have to agree. It reminds me of the passage from within the Holy Bible when Moses met God at the burning bush, when God said unto Moses, I am the God, your father, the God of Abraham, the God of your ancestors, and I would want you to go to the Pharaoh and direct him to release my people from slavery. Now, symbolically, this can be interpreted as from the heart, as symbolically representing from the slavery of the withholding of consciousness and truth. Now, God wanted to be known as the I am presence. I am who I am. Thus you shall say unto the Israelites, I am has sent me unto you. And as an interpretation, I am Lord God shall be within you. That is, we who are all made within the image of God are little I ams essentially. And thus we are all defined as God from within the feminine and from within the masculine aspects of God, in homeostasis, in balance. And as it pertains to our everyday-to-day lives, what we say after I am, whether it's from within the divinity of our very beings or from within the negativity as well, and conjugation, we are who we are from what we believe for ourselves to be, a positive affirmation of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are magical words. You can become your own magician of your life by just using those words, I am. Anything you put right after I am, you are affirming and it's happening. You're placing an order into the universe. You're placing an order with God, whatever your higher being is. When you say I am blank, whatever it is, I am abundant, done. It's like going to a restaurant and say, you know, I want this entree, and you just let go, and then the waitress will come back, or the waiter will come back with your item. It's, you just have complete faith that it's going to come. So if you can still have that faith with whatever you put after I am, you're placing an order with the universe, with God, with the Great Spirit, with the Creator, and just know that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen in divine timing. So remember, if you say, I am stupid, I am silly, I am ridiculous, I am poor, I am whatever, it's going to happen. So always delete whatever you say and replace it with, I am amazing, or I am abundant, or I am love, I am peace. I am very mindful to put positive affirmations, because that's what it is. I am, whatever you fill in is an affirmation. So I am very, very cognizant of really saying positive affirmations. Even my passwords, you know, you have to have all these passwords, right? Don't you have all these passwords for everything? Every password I have is an affirmation. So, you know, because how many times you type in, for example, to look at your emails, right? You got to put in a password. Well, make it a positive affirmation. Not only are you saying it in your mind, you're writing it, you're typing it, and you're creating. It's just amazing. My license plate is an affirmation, and it's peace. I am. yeah, peace. So I am very, very cognizant, because that to me is a form of meditation. Because some people always ask me, "Oh, I can't get my mind quiet. I'm always jumping and thinking of many things." But just simply repeating an affirmation, which is a mantra, which is a chant that you're creating, and, you know, repeating something over and over and over again, your subconscious mind, which is 85 to 90% of your mind, is like a database. It's like a sponge. It's going to soak that into your mind. So that's going to definitely overrule your conscious analytical side of your mind, which is like 10 to 15%. So the more subconscious anchoring of affirmations that you do, that it just washes, eliminates, and erases other things. And as a certified clinical hypnotherapist, I very, very am mindful of that, because whatever you say, think, and feel is what your sponge is going to soak up, which is your database, your subconscious mind. So, yes, everybody, do some positive affirmations.
And with only 2 minutes remaining within the first segment of this broadcast, Tina, can you be able to please provide for our listeners your contact information, your websites, and in how we can be able to purchase your inspiring book, My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life?
Absolutely. So my website is TinaSacchi.com. That's TinaSacchi.com. And if people will go into my website and want to join my email mailing list, they will get a free meditation download. So I believe in meditation so much, and you'll get a free download of a meditation, my words, my voice. And so in my book, if they go on my website, they can get the information there. And my book is sold pretty much everywhere, Amazon, and you can get it in, you know, ebook type form or physical form. And they also can connect with me through Facebook, again, Tina Sacchi Holistic Spiritual Circle is the name of my page. And there's so many ways. There's LinkedIn, there's Pinterest, there's Twitter. Tina Sacchi is really what you need to put in there, and you'll be able to connect with me there. And I'd be happy also. I do a lot of Facebook interactions. So Tina Sacchi Holistic Spiritual Circle, get on there, and that'll be amazing.
And when we return back to the show after our station identification break, we will be continuing our conversation with the wisdom-filled, heart-filling, and inspiring Tina Sacchi, visionary, healer, and shaman, and the author of her most recent work, My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to
VBSRadio.com.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Joe Vitale. I'm one of the stars of the hit movie The Secret, and I'm the author of way too many books to even list here, including The Attractor Factor and Life's Missing Instruction Manual. You're listening to BBS Radio, so fasten your seatbelts, get ready to be inspired and informed. You're in for a wild ride.
Hello, this is Lee Taylor Young, and I'm visiting with you on BBS Radio.
My name's M.A. Carano, Experimental Philosopher and Systems Consultant, and you're listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, live on BBS. Check me out at www.avatarparadigms.com for your latest Men in the Way to Cook Up. Definitely. If it's not mainstream, then you're on BBS.
The Book of Positive Light chronicles the story of one's life, his struggles, his defeat, and upon the likes of his own triumphs. How is one to know of one's light unless the one is to know truthfully of his or her own limitations within the darkness? The Book of Positive Light portrays and enshrines the alchemy of one's potentiality and surpassing the limitations and in conjuring the truth to one's capacity to create beyond the leaps and bounds of ultimate manifestation. Douglas Ross Hamilton, author of The Mystery of the Serpent Mound, exclaims, "The Book of Positive Light is a journeyman's guide to grasping the import of acquiring the inner light." Dr. Amelia Kemp, author of her own book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, raves, "The Book of Positive Light honors the diversity of spiritual traditions and universal truths, as it graciously opens the author to self, as he is more than willing and more than able to teach and is willing to be taught. He uncovers the healer within." To purchase the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, you can visit the book's official website at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com. And so welcome back, dear listeners, to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I have with me tonight my dear and wonderful friend and the author of her most recent work, My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. Tina, I thank you, dear Tina, for taking the time for being here tonight on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Joel. I'm so excited to be here.
And just thinking back in conversation during our station identification break, just thinking of our conversation and to just looking at the many parallels that we've had together, the many common denominators between the both of us, just reflecting back the energies of the Great Serpent Mound of Adams County, Ohio. Douglas Ross Hamilton, our interrelationship with him, Lemuria, Sedona, Arizona, Machu Picchu, Peru, the Incas, and affinity to shamanism, being raised as both Catholics ourselves during our childhood upbringings, the Journey Expo, and just the list just goes on and on and on. And just reflecting back from our conversation earlier of being in alignment towards the many other aspects of other people coming into interconnection, how do you what is your perspective about that with many people awakening, and what you can say to them, because it is definitely an experience that awakens you to many parts of what you did not know or apprehend to be prior to being enlightened within this journey. What can you tell for them or say for them in encouragement who are just merely just listening to the show with a big question mark on their foreheads?
Yeah, that's great. And I'd like to address, and answer these questions you have with the topic of the show: are you a robotic or soulful entrepreneur? Or we could also say, are you a robotic or soulful traveler on this path of light? So, or this path of life? And so those people that are awakening up or have awakened and not know which direction to go, I would ask them, are you a robot or are you a soulful person? So a robot to me is a person or a business. If it's a business, it's a business that makes money at any cost. If you're a person or a traveler, you're just going through the day. You know, some of the characteristics is they work, no play, no pain, no gain. They go through their life, repeating the same cycle without any inspiration, with, just going through. You wake up, you burn through the day, you go to sleep, wake up, burn through the day, go to sleep, and repeat that cycle. And so the questions, some questions I would ask if you're a robot, this will determine if you are a robot, is to look at your emotional state. It's looking at, are you sleeping well? Do you face mood swings? Do you judge or criticize others? Do you feel, again, emotionally insecure? And how often do you face physical illness and stress? And do you find it easy to get along with people? Are you an absent-minded person? You know, you realize as a robot, you realize that things are just not right. I was a robot for many years because I was in my spiritual closet, and it got me sick. Since my soul was not involved in this, my soul was waking me up with the diseases. You know, lack of ease. So I will take a look at that. And once you look at these questions, if any of these questions are yes, then do something about it. You know, get some help from you, Joel. You coach many people, or get, you know, somebody who you resonate with, and get yourself out of that funk. I mean, I am really good at helping people with their emotional self and weeding out those emotions, patterns, imprints, and beliefs. So weed those out, because you really want to be a soulful entrepreneur. Do you want to know what my take on the soulfuls are, Joe?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, great.
Yes.
So soulfuls are people that, that really want to connect and be positive and live very healthy. And I'm talking about healthy on the four body system, not only the physical, but also the spiritual, the mental, and the emotional. If you're a soulful business, then you're making money. Yeah, it means about making money, but other factors such as ethics are equally important. So soulful entrepreneurs will begin with a vision or a dream, and this vision includes fulfilling their needs as well as others. And they will, and even soulful, if you don't have to be an entrepreneur, a soulful traveler, you will start incorporating all your senses in your vision and creating your dream. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're, one-person traveler or an intra-entrepreneur that has a solo business or a business with a dozen employees or 1,000 employees or more. You know, you incorporate your senses. You know, I always say to people, you know, when they say to me, I need to make a decision, which way do I need to go? And I said, well, if you go this way, how would you feel? Well, I wouldn't feel good because blah, 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 then don't go that way. You know, it's really your feeling, your emotional state is a great barometer. So soulfuls will look at their emotional state. They don't really think about it. So, you know, it's good to think about things, but our conscious mind gets in the way. So it's really about your soul. What are you feeling? Your feeling is an amazing thing. So use your senses, you know, what does it sound like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? When you're making decisions, you know, incorporate what would it feel like? And these are human existence. It's a human existence senses to create a bigger dream so we can tap into our intuitive senses. You know, we look at the big picture. We don't look at, okay, I need to make money just now. It doesn't matter if I'm hurting my fellow brother or sister. It's about the big picture. What's the purpose as to why I have this vision, why I have this dream? You know, whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. You know, you've got to believe in yourself. So, you know, I always say success is loving what you do. So to be soulful and following your soul, following your emotions, you automatically will be successful. Don't you think, Joel?
Oh, yes, definitely, for sure. It's a business. And it's all about being passionate as to what you want to incorporate into that business. And I'm sure within the process, you are essentially making a business plan to making that business happen into a manifestation. And I just love the way you have framed just this type of ideology, this question that many people have asked themselves many times on over. But in the way that you had reframed this focus, being either a robotic entrepreneur or a soulful entrepreneur, it's being aware, placing into awareness of how it is and how it actually means to being robotic in nature, as opposed to being soulful, looking within, robotic as a means of the conditioning of things that have been incorporated into our lives I guess, without our own control. And just going into that direction, Tina, wouldn't you say that a lot of the things, the happenings that are going on around us are conditioned to a certain extent for any resolve, any particular purpose, such as the educational system, such as the mass popular media? And if that is the case, how are we to gravitate not towards the negativity, but more into the more essential and beneficial sides of our focus and our business as being the soulful entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I truly believe that each one of us is born on this earth to really fulfill and accomplish our purpose. And sometimes we get off path or we take a detour and we start getting involved in this media or this negativity and we go off tangent. And so in order to come back and be aligned, we need to declutter. We need to declutter people, places, things, and drama. I'm going to say that again. We need to declutter people, places, things, and drama. And because there's people in our lives, I'm sure you know who they are, and I know who mine are, you know, that they're negative. So I can love them better from over here, you know? And most of these negative people are in my family. So I can love them better where they are from where I am, okay? So create that distance. People, places. Places could be like, you know, it could be a place of work. It could be a place of an organization. It could be a sacred building, that a religion that you don't like anymore, that you have outgrown. It's okay to move on. Things that used to satisfy you before no longer satisfy you any longer. Maybe eating the wrong foods, or maybe you're connecting with different rituals that don't even, you know, serve you any longer. You know, you move away from that. And the drama, there's so much drama. You know, media is drama. And they don't make money unless there is drama. So I don't even watch news. Look, I know what's going on in this world, but I don't have to know every single detail and hear it over and over and over and over again, you know, through these media. So it's letting go. You got to let go anybody or what or anything that's not lifting you up. You know, we got to let go of anything, of anybody that's not lifting us up. So basically, I always say to people, you know, like I've mentioned before, you know, we're born really here on earth to fulfill our purpose. And I believe there's two basic motivations of soulfuls, of whether you're a traveler or an entrepreneur. You know, so the first is self-fulfillment. It's a spiritual sense of purpose. The reason why we are here on this planet, and I believe we're all here to make a difference. And the other purpose is to create a money flow to satisfy the basic needs and beyond, to connect deeper into spirituality. And then travelers, soulful travelers or entrepreneurs can take this excess monies and contribute to charities and other organizations that will help the dream and help others as well. So, you know, realistically, Joe, how much money do we really need after we can, you know, fulfill our basic purposes? You know what I mean?
And there's a question about the whole money thing as well. And I know the olden paradigm of things for the commoner, such as myself, I know in the beginning of things and being involved with money, I often viewed money as a negative thing. Oh, only the really filthy rich, the negative, the greedy people have the money. And, you know, it's all about the haves and have-nots. And again, this was the type of thinking that resonated within me from, you know, my past and most recent. But now I am starting to be open to a different level of viewing money and abundance, and what kind of abundance? The abundance of love and of limitlessness, and being a part of that soulful entrepreneurship It's all about advertising this new paradigm. It's a shifting paradigm type of conditioning that we have to not only incorporate and to broadcast to the public and to other people who are unaware, but as well as within living that type of new paradigm shift for ourselves. Can you be able to collaborate further onto that?
So I can comment on a recent Gallup poll, okay? There was a recent Gallup poll that determined that over 3/4 of Americans say that religious is losing its influence on their lives, and they're calling themselves SBNRs, spiritual but not religious, right? So, you know, we're not bashing religion here. It's all good. What we're saying is that we want to live with the power of our authentic self. There are many companies out there that are making a difference. Like, of course, we know Oprah, who calls her viewers super soulers, and she connects with them, in her own network through various TV programs like Super Soul Sunday. SBNR is a lifestyle. According to the Huffington Post, 1 in 5 adults are moving toward this SBNR trend. So, which constitutes at least 20% of the population. And, 30% of that are 30-year-olds that are under 30 years. So what does this mean? People, businesses need to be more soulful to accommodate what's happening. We need to live authentically. We need to live as an example. So really, when we talked at break, you and I, the people, the waves of kids, children that are being born lately, especially in the past 10 to 15 years, they are coming in with this tenacity of accomplishing their goal and not caring about what their parents think or not think, you know? I mean, I gave you an example of my son, my younger son, at break, I was telling you that, my son was 4 years old and I was trying to convince him of something. He was, I don't remember what he even was. In 15 minutes, he's looking up at me, and I'm trying to use every word that he knows and every analogy that I can give him. And he's looking up with me with a blank, with a poker face, really. He just allowed me to say what I had to say, which is unusual for him because he'll immediately, if I'm not in agreement, he just has his own way. But I'm talking and talking, trying to convince. Maybe I added some more bribery in there, I don't know. And then I'm done, and he looks up to me, and he says, looks up at me, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't care. And the little 4-year-old turns around and walks away and with non-attachment, not caring that he possibly will hurt his mom, no guilt that he wasn't on the same page as me, caring that it may have caused an issue. It was something about his safety as well and whatever. He's not caring. So what he taught me, Joel, was a big lesson of non-attachment, not being attached to what other people think or say. And so we, all of us as soulful travelers, really need to look inside, look within, and see what was it, again, why did I come on this earth? Possibly it was to love yourself and others. I believe that. What was it, another reason why we came in? To create peace. We didn't just come in on earth just for the heck of it. I mean, did you think this was going to be a pleasure cruise? You know what I mean?
I did. I don't know about you. Yeah. No,
you know what I mean? I know. Yes, I mean, did we really think we were going to cruise through this life without lessons and learnings? I mean,
absolutely
we came from a space, I call it heaven, God, the great spirit, we came from that space to come in, do what we had to do to learn, to grow, to evolve, and help others. And if we're not doing that, then we are robotic. We are not living our path, And I mean, what do you think?
Oh, indeed, for sure. And again, it's going about the whole distinguishment of determining the two areas of being robotic and soulful. And if we are able to determine whether we are in the robotic state or in the soulful state, that is a huge component in determining the next levels for, I would like to say, evolution, and for the many reasons of why we were placed here within this earthly plane. And it is for the elevation of spirit to the next level. And I believe, too, it is also the challenge and the main reason of why we are placed into the certain situations and circumstances. And most of the time, we are in that robotic state. And as to how to snap essentially out of that, I believe that there's many synchronicities that allow for us to go and meet the different people in our lives that allows us to kind of snap out of it. And just in conversation, from many conversations that we've had between and before the show, either through Facebook or any other means, just meeting you per se had opened up many portal ways and pathways to being the next level, the next person that I wanted to be. And passionately within myself, it was to be a soulful entrepreneur. And I'm sure in many ways, synergistically back and forth, it has opened up many things for you as well. And I believe that that's the reason why we do what we do, because in opening the pathways for other people to essentially do exactly that, to awaken to their own passionate side of things, and to the reasons of why we were placed here. And it's a synergistic type of interaction, wouldn't you say, between everyone else. And this too in itself, it had raised many levels within me. It is not about us and them anymore. It's about all of us together, even the people that have done us wrong, either individually, personally, governmentally, worldly, globally. We have to put into our intentions that they are as much a part of the holistic organization or the organism of things, and for which we must allow them to snap out of it as well, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with what you thank you for saying that. I have, ignited something in you. And yes, ditto. I when I connected with you, you affirmed and confirmed a lot of my path and what I'm doing. And I think about you daily because I'm reading your book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. And those people that are listening who haven't gotten a copy of your book, please do, because it's a it's wonderful. Every day I read a section. It's like what Joel did was he did a diary from in 2011 to 2013, I think it was, or 12,
yes, so.
Something like that. Anyway, so every day I read a page. I read a date, and like today I was reading October 30th in your details here. And every time I open up in the morning, my rituals, I do my meditation, whatever, then I take out. There's a couple of books that I read, and one of the books is yours, and I just look. It's just enough words for me to read. It could be like a paragraph or several paragraphs, and whatever you're saying or that's written in that piece is exactly what I need to hear, or exactly what I need to do, or exactly what I was thinking about. So we are very synchronistic. We're all connected. Like the Hawaiians say, a piko kaku, we are all connected. And I strongly believe that you got to be with people that lift you up. And Joel, you lift me up, so thank you for that.
Tina, I am just so greatly honored to have you not only on the show, but to being reignited by you and reunited with you as well. And I do believe within my soul that there was definitely an interconnection prior to this life and being. And I thank you for finding me and just realigning yourself energetically with your mission, and then to validating my own mission in life, and to helping people to open up to their hearts. And that's essentially what it is. It's about love. It's about a heart-centered consciousness. And from what you and I believe, just spiritually and from feeling alone, not just from what we think and from evidence-based type of information, but from the feeling alone from within our hearts, there is something there that tells us of this shift, this beauty and evolution of humanity and becoming what we were meant to be holistically together as one individual organism working tandemly. And that is essentially what you and me have been exposed to, the wisdom of the ages within the ancients. And you and me both, we are essentially, and along with the many others who are in tandem, essentially as the Rainbow Warriors of things.
Yeah, well, we all need to get more soulful, and even me. I mean, even though I say I'm soulful, there's so much more room to grow, right? And so we all need to get more soulful. And ways we can get more soulful is by taking the time out, quiet time. You know, I always say everybody's got an addiction of some kind, right? My addiction is I need quiet, and the more quiet I have, the more I need. And I'm a very social and, happy-go-lucky person. I love to be about people. And people always say, you must always be by people, around people. And the answer is no. I'm mostly by myself. And it's really because I love that meditative state, that in the gap state. And so when you get, I encourage everybody to get in that state, in a quiet space, and then start listing all your passions, your hobbies, and your interests. And, and when I give this assignment to people, sometimes they say, gee, I always wanted to fulfill or take up a hobby or XYZ or, scrapbooking or whatever it is, stamp collecting, but they're not doing it. Well, then start doing it, because that's what your soul needs. And research how to make it happen. Make it happen. You can either do it by yourself, or you can incorporate it into a group of friends, or you can incorporate it into a business, just do it. You just got to be more soulful by really connecting with your passions, your hobbies, your interests. That is what you must do. And also success is about incorporating, successful to be soulful is about incorporating the four-body system. The four-body system is like four tires on a car. I always say each tire represents one part of the body system. So one is the spirit, the other one is the emotions, the mental, and the physical body. And so if this vehicle, if one of the tires is overinflated or underinflated, the whole vehicle would not operate. So most people's vehicle, a part of the vehicle that doesn't operate well is really, it's related to spirit, and it's the emotional, and then it leads into the mental, and then your physical body takes the toll because everything is out of whack. So start looking at incorporating the four-body system. You must embrace your vision of yourself, and you also have to open the path to a lifetime of personal growth. Not every step of your life is going to be, you're going to cruise through it. There's going to be little bumps in the road. Okay, so a bump comes up to your in your life. Okay, you need to decide, will you go through it? Will you go around it? Will you go over it? You go under it? Just do it. Just one bump at a time, and then you'll get some clearance. And then these bumps are lessons and learnings that we're growing from. So I really encourage everybody to, take every step with awareness. Whatever you can do to facilitate your expansion of consciousness is a step toward success. So I hope that I answered your question. I just want to see everybody to create a more soulful life so they can be successful in accomplishing their life purpose. Because I believe, whenever it is that you're going to be at your deathbed, you're going to ask yourself a few questions. Oh,
absolutely, yes, absolutely. Yeah, you would want to make sure that you've covered all aspects of every concern in your life. And to leaving a legacy, and that's a huge question as to whether people would remember you in heightening their level of being, or either being stagnant in neutrality, or someone who has basically brought you to the darkened parts of yourselves. And so thank you. Hello, Tina, we have completely run out of time, but with only just a small portion that I can provide for you, would you please provide us with briefly just some inspiring words of wisdom before we conclude?
Yes, the words of wisdom is that, wow, there's so much. Just, live your life authentically, be mindful, love yourself, remember that you came here to do something, you came here to be happy, and you came here to live openly and soulfully. So connect with yourself, be authentic, be love, be peace.
And there you have it, my wonderful and dear friend, a healer, a shaman, a light worker, writer, an author, an inspiration to the world, and the creator once more of her new and paradigm-shifting book entitled My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. And so I thank you, dear Tina. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Joel.
And I thank you, dear listeners, for being here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. Other previous broadcasts, please visit us at Quantum Mindfulness Radio's official website at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. All previous and prior broadcasts are archived at the BBS Radio Network. Please join us every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Again, I thank you once more for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.